And I was thinking maybe everybody sees it that way, and it was just news to me, so maybe for the younger people, maybe this will be something new. So Luke chapter 15 begins, "Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he spoke this parable to them, saying, 'What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Now, this begins with the scribes and the Pharisees questioning Jesus' motives and complaining about the fact that he spends time with these individuals. These were the religious leaders of the day, and rather than trying to draw them closer to the truth, they put them in their own category of people that you would not want to be around. These harlots and these sinners and tax collectors, who would want to hang out with them? Could you imagine a preacher or elders to say, you know what, the gospel's not really for everyone. You know, these people, they really don't need to hear it. So Jesus points out to them that they as individuals would go after one of their sheep that was lost, suggesting that they would put more stock into their animals than they care about the people. And in this first parable, the shepherd is Jesus, and the sheep is someone who wandered away from the fold. Now, when somebody repents and obeys the gospel, nobody sets out to be lost. You know, that's a situation that you may find yourself in. When I was a kid, my mom used to take me. It just seemed to be Kmart. And right at the front door was the women's department, and I used to like to go hide in the racks of clothes and pop out, you know, and startle her. And it was never my intention to pop out and nobody be there and find myself lost. That's not how I went in there. I wasn't anticipating being lost, but that's how it went. My mom would be walking around the store sometimes, embarrassing me by paging me to find me, but I did not go to Kmart intending to be lost. Sometimes in the church, people will drift away, and it's like in Matthew 13, verse 22. "Now, he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word out, and he becomes unfruitful." You know, people that were once faithful can drift away. And it's not all at once. Sometimes they just get busy at work. Maybe somebody gets ill and they're just away for a while, and it becomes easier and easier to not be there. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." Moving on to verses 8 through 10, the lost coin. "What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now, this woman is the church, and the coin is the lost. Whether they don't realize that they're transgressing, or maybe they have never heard the truth of the gospel. The woman says, "The coin that I have lost," acknowledging that she has some part in it. And in this parable, the coin isn't even aware that it is lost. Matthew 18:11 and Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." And the gospel is something that all need to hear. I have heard people, especially outside the church, but I've heard people inside the church say, "Well, surely there's a guy meditating on a mountaintop who's never heard the gospel. God's going to let that guy in, right?" But the gospel is something everyone needs to hear. If it was not, Matthew 28:19 and 20 would not say, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." If everyone was okay for not knowing, that wouldn't need to be in the Bible, and we would do more good not telling anyone anything, because once they hear the gospel, they have the burden of needing to follow it. Now, the remaining of the chapter, Kaufman's commentaries mention that the world has sort of placed all the emphasis on the prodigal, when in fact there's two sons mentioned in this passage. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent them into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, in this case, the younger son was lost by his own choice. He decided that there was something better out in the world than life with his father, whatever that was, and he wanted to take his chances out there. And when the famine arose, he quickly learned that, you know, the grass wasn't greener. And he comes to his senses. And when he returns, he is surprised to be met by his father, who is in tears and rejoicing for the fact that his son had returned. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called for one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as the son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and now is alive again. He was lost and now is found. The older son is representative of the Pharisees and the attitude that I'm owed something. You know, I deserve this. I've done everything you've said. I've kept the law. Why haven't you treated me better than this? He was full of pride, and that would hinder him from being who God wanted him to be, and he needed to humble himself. If you were to look in Luke chapter 18 at the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, this son is the Pharisee, getting up and saying how great he is in front of everyone, being glad that he's not like the tax collector, yet he needed to be humble. To sum this all up, the sheep did not intend to be lost. The coin did not know it was lost. The young son deliberately rebelled to become lost, but he came to the realization that he needed to make it right. The older son was lost in his pride and arrogance. I began by asking what the worth of one soul is, and this chapter shows what God would do to save the lost, whether it is one sheep out of 100, one coin out of 10. It's actually two brothers out of two brothers. They were lost for different reasons. Or one out of a billion. Everyone matters to God. 1 Timothy 2:4 states that God desires that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not slack concerning his promises, as some would count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. So what is one soul worth? To God, it was worth the life of his son on the cross. And he wants everyone to be saved, but that salvation requires obedience. The gospel must be heard so that we may believe and gain faith. We must turn away from our past sins. We must confess Jesus as Lord before man. And we must submit to baptism in the watery grave. Could be that someone here tonight needs to follow those steps to salvation. Or maybe someone is lost like the sheep and has wandered and needs the prayers of this congregation. If we can help you in any way, please come as together we stand and sing.